Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Dan Roth.
Amen. Well, tonight, you can stay or you can go. Either way, brother, whatever you feel like doing, man. If you want to go sit down, you can sit down. Or if you want to keep playing, you can keep playing. But I just believe that there's some things God wants to do in our lives tonight. You know, Sunday nights we've been having prayer services, and recently we've just had some amazing moves of the Holy Spirit. And this past week it was so encouraging because we had our children's camp, and the children's ministry team gathered together, and they were taking some time and focusing in some areas of prayer. And as they did, they realized and they recognized some things that were lacking. And they prayed and they pressed through, and they were able to do some things there in their meeting that just kind of sparked some thoughts for me. And then hearing the report from what went on at the camp. And tonight I want to talk to you about a subject called spiritual momentum. You know, sometimes we come into a church service like this and we don't feel like there's anything going on. And that's okay. You know, you should come to church when you don't feel like there's anything going on. You know what I mean? You're looking to get a hold of God. You're looking to come and to encounter the presence of God. And you're going to find that in a corporate setting like this. And it was interesting to me today because I was just taking a break this afternoon and had been studying and already knew kind of where I was going. And I had this thought about fire. Anybody, you know, ever seen in California? I mean, obviously, that's what you're always going to be dealing with. You either got fires or you've got earthquakes, right? The two things that everybody around the country says they hate. Well, listen, we don't have a season called tornado, right? So I will take, or hurricane either. You know, I will take an earthquake every now and then and a fire, maybe a mudslide every now and then over that any day of the week, right? And so I was watching the television, and right now there is a fire out in the LA County area, and it's just ripping through, and it's unpredictable. They don't know which way it's going. They don't know what's going on. They don't know. They can't judge it. They evacuate one place, and all of a sudden it shifts, and it turns around, and so they start sending people back, and then all of a sudden it'll turn around again, and it's just, they can't predict it. It's unpredictable. And as they were looking at it, one of the reporters said something. He said, you know, oftentimes we view that the winds will start things and the winds will get things going. But then after a while, that fire, because of the intense heat and how it's just licking up all of the oxygen, what will happen is it will create a vacuum. And in that vacuum, as that heat is being burned up, as that heat is going up, what will happen is that the vacuum will create this pocket where the fire will rush to, and the air will rush to, and it will actually create its own momentum. It will create its own wind, and it will drive itself because it's constantly sucking up more oxygen and moving forward. And it's just an incredible thing to think about. Now, keep that picture in your head, a fire, okay? Started with a spark, started with a flame, started somewhere. It's driven by the wind. And then once it gains enough momentum, it starts to create its own wind. It starts to create its own direction and its own movement. There's a definite spiritual application for all of us because the Bible tells us that our God is a consuming fire. The Bible tells us that there is a wind that comes from the word of the Lord. And the Holy Spirit is seen as the breath of God that blows. Now, when you have the Spirit of God on the inside of your heart, there is a flame that is lit on the inside of you. And when you have the word of God added to that, it will start to blow that flame. It will start to fan that flame. It will start to bring those embers into a flame. And as it starts to consume you, as it starts to consume your life, it will create momentum. It will start to drive you. It will start to move you. At times it may be unpredictable. You don't know which direction you're going to be led by the Spirit of God. You don't know what God is up to, but you just know that there's a moment you might have been going this way, and all of a sudden God starts to speak to your heart, starts to speak to your life and says, no, over here, or go up there. I want you to minister over here. And in the book of Acts, chapter number 2, I want you to turn there with me, and I want to read four little verses that changed the world. Isn't that amazing? Four little verses in the Bible that literally changed the world. I mean, the world had already been changed. Spiritually, Jesus had already gone to the cross. He'd already died. He'd already went and declared his victory to the spirits in bondage. He'd already ascended on high. He was seated at the right hand of God. But he had told the disciples, I want you guys to wait. Before you get going on what I've called you to do, I want you to wait for something. And that's the Spirit of God. See, God was going to send the wind, and he was going to send the fire. And he was going to create spiritual momentum in the church that would be lasting. Take a look at it, Acts chapter 2. Starting in verse number 1 all the way through verse number 4, look at what it says. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. In other words, there was a gathering of the disciples, and they were all united in that place. Verse number 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. So this sound filled up the entire house. Now, I don't know if there was any physical wind that came with that, but all I know from what the Word of God says is that the sound itself filled the whole house where they were sitting. It was evident to everyone. Verse number 3 comes along and says, then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. Remember, in our illustration, we were talking about fire. Right? And we said that wind drove the fire in a certain direction. So here comes the sound of the wind, and suddenly the fire shows up. Verse number 4, and it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Four little verses that changed the course of history. Four little verses that created a spiritual momentum that has not stopped till today. Four little verses that if you get a hold of these verses in your life, they will change the course of your life forever. Yeah, you may have sat in church. Yeah, you may have received Jesus. Yes, you may have told other people about Jesus and been a witness, or maybe you've been a minister. Maybe you've volunteered in teams and that sort of a thing. But maybe you've never experienced those four little verses in your life. Tonight, I want to give you that opportunity, and we're going to have a prayer service tonight, and we're going to pray in some specific areas. We're going to have some moments where you can get down on your knees before the Lord. But I want to give to you this same spiritual momentum, because we see it as a pattern throughout the Word of God, that first there's the wind, there's the breath, there's the Word of the Lord that goes forth, and then there is the fire. How many of you know our God is the God who answers by fire? See, in the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 18, here's Elijah, and he's up on the mountain, and he's facing the prophets of Baal. And there he is, and he calls him out, and he says, we're going to both prepare a sacrifice, and the God who answers by fire, he is God. And he gives them first chance. He gives them the first turn. And so they start to arrange their sacrifice, and they start to call on their God. And after a little while of waiting, Elijah starts to mock him. He says, maybe he's sleeping. Maybe you guys got to shout a little louder and wake him up, because surely he must be distracted or something else is going on. And so they start jumping up and down, cutting themselves. They start hollering louder, and nothing happens. And then Elijah comes, and he repairs the altar of the Lord. He arranges the sacrifice in order. And he pours 12 buckets of water on the sacrifice, as if that wasn't enough. Digs a trough around the outsides of it, and there's water all up in the trough. And he calls on the name of the Lord. The word goes forth, first the breath, and then coming down out of heaven, you can read it in your Bibles, comes a flame from God that comes down and consumes the sacrifice, consumes the wood, and it licks up the water in the trough all around it. See, God is the God who answers by fire. I was raised in churches where we believed in the power of God. I was raised in churches where we believed that God could do things. But we never saw those things experientially. We never experienced those things in our lives personally. And maybe that's you in this place tonight. Maybe you've come into the house of God and you've said, I agree. Yeah, God can answer by fire. Yeah, I agree. God can do supernatural things. Yes, I agree. God can heal. I just don't know if he does heal. Yes, God can baptize with the Holy Spirit and people could speak with another language. Yeah, I'm sure that's possible, but I don't know if God wants to do that. Maybe you've been to churches and they prayed for you and nothing happened and you never were able to get over this right here. But tonight, I'm here to tell you that our God is a God who answers by fire. First the word, first the breath, then the fire, and then the spiritual momentum in your life that you have been desiring, that you've been lacking, that you've been wanting. And tonight we're going to lay hands, we're going to pray, and you're going to be baptized. You're going to be just like the disciples in Acts chapter 2. You're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and it's going to change your life and create a spiritual momentum that cannot be stopped. I know because I've experienced it. I know because others in this room have experienced it. Now, before we get there, there's only one requirement in order to be baptized and filled with this spiritual momentum that we've been talking about. And the only requirement is that you're a Christian. Now, sometimes people get the wrong idea about that, and they say, oh, well, I'm a Christian. You know, I showed up to church tonight. Doesn't that mean that I'm a Christian? Well, no. You know, just last night I was down at the 66ers Stadium for an event. I had my son Titus with me, and he's wanting to play some baseball, and we sat in the dugout. Now, I could have sat in that dugout and said, I'm a 66er. But did you know that would never make me a part of the team? And if I stayed there long enough and waited for a game to start up and sat there, and even if I wore a uniform, brought my bat and my ball, and thought that I was going to get to play in the game, you know what's going to happen? They're going to find me sitting there, drag me out and lock me up. You know why? Because I'm not a member of their organization. I'm not a part of the team. You can't just sit in church service and call yourself a Christian. That makes you a Christian. Sometimes people think, but Pastor, I was raised in church. You know, you talked about being raised in church. I was one of those people. And my parents took me to church and told me you were Christians growing up. To get religious classes, hung a cross or St. Christopher around your neck. Maybe as you grew up, you got a tattoo that said Jesus or something like that. But listen, can I tell you something? Nowhere in the Bible does it say, because your parents raised you in church, tell you're Christian, that makes you Christian. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that because you attend religious classes or that you've got a tattoo or some jewelry, that you get to go to heaven. Sometimes people think, well, Pastor, not only when I was a child did I go to church, but you know, my last church I got involved, I helped out, sang in the choir, carried the pastor's Bible, made decisions in that church. People thought of me as a leader. I even got a membership card to that church. And while that's great, and I'm glad you did those things, so you know that nowhere in the Bible does it say that because you volunteered in a church that you get to go to heaven. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that God is looking for your membership card to a church to make sure that you're a Christian so that you can enter the gates of heaven. It doesn't work like that. Sometimes people think, well, Pastor, hold on a second, because, you know, I think that, you know, I'm a Christian because I know God. And I could quote scriptures to you. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Doesn't that mean that I'm a Christian? I celebrate Easter and the resurrection, sing the songs at Christmas every year of my life. I know God. Doesn't that mean that I'm a Christian? Well, if you'd read your Bible, you'd know that demons believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They're not Christians. If you'd read your Bible, you know the devil himself knows who Jesus is and believes he's the Son of God and can quote scriptures out of his mouth. And yet that doesn't qualify him for heaven. So everybody look up here at me for a second. This is not about what you have in your head. It's not about having mental assent towards God, knowing who Jesus is, and that gets you right with God. But rather, this is about your heart. Jesus said it like this. He said, if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. That simple. That's all. You must be born again. Now, sometimes people turn off. They say, ew, I've heard about that born again stuff. I saw it in a movie. It was weird. Read about it in a blog on the internet. You know, it was just something that was undesirable. I don't want to have any part of that. But you know, unless you have a part of that, you won't have any part in the kingdom of heaven. Because Jesus didn't say it's a good idea or it's a way. No, he said you must be born again. Not all roads lead to heaven. And heaven and hell are both very real places. And if you want to be a Christian, headed for heaven, experiencing the power of God in your life, you must be born again. So then what does being born again really mean? Well, from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, it's always meant the same thing. It means that you've given God all of your heart and that you've given God all of your life. It's just that simple. It's all or nothing with Jesus. Let me prove it to you. Last book of the Bible, book of Revelation. Jesus is speaking to a church, just like he's speaking to us here in this church tonight. And he says, when I come, I want to find you hot, or I want to find you cold, because if I find you lukewarm, he says, I will vomit you from my mouth. Now, those are gross, graphic words from the mouth of Jesus. What's he saying, lukewarm? What's that all about? Well, it's a little in, little out, a little up, a little down, a little token prayer every now and again, an occasional church attendance. God is something in your life, but he's not everything. You're not opposed to God, but you're not wholehearted for God. Listen, if that's your relationship with Jesus, you're not going to make it. How do I know that? Because only people that are not real Christians will be ejected and rejected from the body of Christ. So tonight, I'm going to give you an opportunity. In a moment, I'm going to count to three, just like this. One, two, three. And when I say three, I'm going to pop my hands together. Bang. When you hear that sound of my hands popping together, just like that. Bang. That's your opportunity to raise your hand. What you're doing by the raising of your hand is you're saying, I want to give God all my heart. I want to give God all my life. I want to be born again, headed for heaven, denying my presence in hell. See your hand go up. I'll count it. You can put it right back down. You might be thinking, whoa, 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 wait a second. Time out. If I raise my hand, I'll be embarrassed. Yeah, you might be embarrassed. Let's get over that. Because think of the trade-off. Isn't it better to be embarrassed for a moment than it is to end up in hell forever and ever and ever and ever? No one would make that trade. A moment of possible embarrassment for an eternity away from God? Come on. And yet the devil thinks that you're dumb and he's trying to talk you out of it right now. Your flesh is holding you back with insecurity. Listen, push past all that tonight and get ready to get your hand up. And listen, I'm going to make it so easy on you tonight. I'm going to pray with you in your seat. Because we're going to do some things tonight that I want you to be a part of. And so it couldn't get any easier than this tonight. Will you give God all of your heart? Will you give God all of your life? All across this auditorium, wherever you're at, back in the family rooms, watching by television in the foyer, down at the Love Rock Cafe, come on, get ready, get your hand up wherever you're at, and then tell an usher right afterwards or come into the church service. Maybe you're watching online across the nation and around the world. Hey, get ready to get your hand up. God sees, God's watching, and he knows your heart, and he can see your hand go up right now, and then we will pray together right where you're at. You can be born again. I'm going to count to three. You ready to get your hands up? Who should raise their hand? Have you been running from God instead of to God? I'm speaking to you. Who should raise their hand if you're not sure about your salvation? Today is your day. Make sure. Who should raise their hand if you've never done this before, never said yes to Jesus, given him all of your heart and all of your life? I'm speaking to you. Or finally, who should raise their hand? If you're lukewarm in this place, you know that's the condition of your heart when I described it. Get ready to get your hand up. I'm going to count to three. Pop my hands together. This is your time. This is your moment of salvation. Here we go. Get ready. One, two, three. Let me see your hands. Just raise them up high for me. There's one. There's two. There's three. Four. God bless you guys. Who else today? Need to give God all of your heart. There's five. Got you right there. Six. Thank you. Seven up top over there. Seven. Wise people. Eight. Got you over there. Thank you. God bless you. Who else today? Know you need to get right with God. Remember, I said the only prerequisite to being filled with the Holy Spirit is being born again. I think I got you guys already. Thank you. Thank you over there. About eight or nine wise people. Anybody else real quick that I did not already see? If I counted your hand, you don't have to put it up at this time, but if I didn't, and you know you need to get right, just get it up. Give me a little wave if I'm looking at you right now. Anybody else real quick? Thank you. Got you right there, nine. Who else today? Number 10, you're sitting there wondering if you should do this. Absolutely. You should. Come on, let's go for God. I didn't embarrass them, and I won't embarrass you. Come on, number 10, where you at? Just get it up high for me when I'm looking your direction. Anybody else? Come on, number 10, where you at? Anybody else? Anybody else? All right, well, let's give the Lord a great big praise. About nine wise people. Amen. Now listen, God comes into your heart and into your life when you invite him in. He's a gentleman. He's not a thief to rob it from you. He's not a conniver to talk you out of it, okay? You said yes to Jesus just now. Now I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and we're going to invite Jesus together into our hearts and into our lives. If you're watching online and you raised your hand, I want you to pray this prayer out loud with us wherever you're at right now, because you're going to be born again too. Let's all bow our heads. Let's all close our eyes. And I want you to say these words out loud if you have the ability. Repeat it out loud. Everybody's going to join in with us. Okay, I want you to say, Father God.
Father God.
Oh, come on. Everybody say this, especially those of you who raised your hand. Say, Father God, I come to you now in Jesus' name. I give you all of my heart and all of my life. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me with your blood and be my Lord and my Savior. I commit today to serve you, to love you, to fear you wholehearted all the days of my life. Let it be known that from this day on, I am a Christian. I'm headed for heaven, denying my presence in hell. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a great big praise tonight. Hallelujah. All right, all nine of you, number 10, you should have raised your hand, but you didn't. Hey, here's what I want to just mention to you. If you prayed that prayer from your heart just now, okay? Right after church, Pastor Joel, we'll just wave it, stand and wave at everybody. This is Pastor Joel, one of the great pastors on our staff. Him and some friends here at the church that we call spiritual personal trainers. Very wonderful, very friendly people. They're going to have some information for you on the right-hand side over here. They'll be standing up here waving at you. They might have a lanyard around their neck that you can see that says SPT, okay? If you just head right up after church and say, I just prayed that prayer tonight for the first time, they will give you some free information, some free literature to take home, read about what to do next in your walk with God, as well as they want to invite you back to church and just connect with you, just see you face to face and tell you how you can get back to church and connect with somebody here at The Rock, because we want to follow up with you. We love you, and we care for your spiritual life. You ever had anybody tell you that, right? Maybe it's been weeks since you heard anybody say that, but listen, we love you, and we're excited about your spiritual walk with God, and we want to take care of you, so make sure to get up here if you prayed that prayer tonight, first time, or maybe it was a rededication, and you were raised in church, that sort of a thing, but you say, you know what, I needed to give God my heart and my life. This information and this connection is for you as well. So right after church, be sure and come up here and see Pastor Joel and one of the SPT, Spiritual Personal Trainers, here at The Rock, okay? Can we just give the Lord a great big praise tonight? Amen. I want to just give you a couple of things tonight that the Spirit of God wants to fill you with. Because remember, it says that the room was filled with the wind, and then the fire came and landed on each and every one of them. Jesus told the disciples, I want you to wait in Jerusalem until the Spirit comes. I will send the promise of the Father to you. And so here they were waiting until the day of Pentecost, and all of a sudden the promise, just like God said, showed up. And there were some things that took place that they were given when they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Tonight, some of you guys are going to be filled with the Holy Spirit for the very first time. Some of you guys are just going to take a fresh breath, and you're going to be filled with that wind, that presence, and it's going to fan that flame that was already lit. And so what are some things that we see from the Bible? In Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, we see that Jesus is speaking to the disciples before he ascended. And the very first thing that he tells them is that you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. The very first thing that we see right off the bat that the disciples received when they were baptized with the Holy Spirit, when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, was that they received power. Power. This was the God power. This was the power of the God of the universe, the one who created the heavens and the earth. This is the power of the Almighty that came upon them. And he says, and you shall be my witnesses. He says, you guys are going to go out and you're going to do some amazing things. You guys are going to have the word of the Lord. And remember, God is a God who answers by fire. And it says in the Bible that when the disciples went and they preached boldly, the power of God came on them, and that God backed up their word with miracles, with signs, and with wonders, and with gifts of the Holy Spirit. Tonight, when you get baptized, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, God is going to give you the power of God. It's so neat that words in the Bible, we can look at them, and some of the original language that's used gives us present day words that we use every day. And the word for power that's used in the original language is the word dunamis. It's the same word that we get our word dynamite from. So think about it this way. You might be a little thing. Maybe God just gave you a little package, just little old me here, living in San Bernardino County or Riverside County. And I'm just me, you know, I'm not anything special. I don't have an education, I'm not too smart. You know, I really am kind of a rascal, I'm not the nicest person, and you know, I'm just me. Well, listen, there was just a tax collector who was an outcast of society. There was just a fisherman who was just a guy who was a laborer and a worker. There was just a zealot who was kind of like a political activist who was kind of crazy and who would have been looked down upon by some of the people in the group that followed Jesus around. And these average men, when they were filled with the Spirit of God, did amazing thing. And with 12 disciples, one that came later, God used them to turn the world upside down. Listen, it may be just little old you, but you might be that little stick of dynamite that doesn't look like too much until the fire hits it, and all of a sudden it explodes with power. God wants to fill you tonight with power. Second thing that we see, not only with power, but turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation because I like the way it said it. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 12, in the New Living Translation, it says, "And we have received God's Spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us." I made it part of a goal of my Christian life when I gave my heart and life to the Lord. I said, if I'm doing this thing, I need to know it. I can't just do it. I've got to know what the Bible says. And I read the Bible, and I remember being amazed at some of the language. I remember being amazed at how the Bible sounded like it was being spoken to me personally. And I did this for a number of years, and then I was filled. I was baptized with the Holy Spirit. And it was amazing to me how it not only was speaking to me, but all of a sudden, the Word of God, as it came to me, that it changed me. That all of a sudden, the Word of God just came alive. It would jump off the page. It was living. It was active. It was powerful in my life. And as you get filled with the Holy Spirit tonight, you're going to get knowledge in a whole new way. See, knowledge is one thing. The Bible says knowledge puffs up. See, we could get inflated. We could think that we're something so cool. But when you have the knowledge of God according to the Spirit of God, and that knowledge starts to fill you, and we know God's Spirit, when you start to have intimacy with the Holy Spirit, and you start talking to God, and you start getting into His Word, all of a sudden, the knowledge that you have of God, it changes. It just elevates to a whole new level. And the Bible says that when they looked at the disciples after they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they said, wait a second, these are uneducated, these are untrained men, but they realized something about them. They realized that they had been with Jesus. And people are going to look at your life, they're going to look at you, and you might just be a laborer, you might just be a mama, you might just be a grandpa, you might just be a neighbor, you might just be somebody out there in the community, you might just be a bagger at a grocery store. But whatever you are, whatever place God has put you in, people will hear the words and the knowledge of God that comes out of your mouth, and they'll say, wait a second, isn't that just a single mom? Wait a second, isn't that the guy that was just sweeping streets? Wait, isn't that the janitor of the police department? I mean, he's not anything. What's going on here? And yet God wants to fill you, and they will realize, well, wait a second. They're Christians. Wait a second. They've been with Jesus, and it will change the world that you live in. Final thing that we see, that as you get filled with the Holy Spirit tonight, God's going to do in your life is He's going to do some amazing things in your prayers. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2 in the New Living Translation once again, he said, "For if you have the ability to speak in tongues, you will be talking only to God, since people won't be able to understand you. You'll be speaking by the power of the Spirit, but it will all be mysterious." If you notice in the Bible, right when the disciples in Acts chapter 2 got filled with the Holy Spirit, it says tongues, flames of fire came and landed on each and every one of them. And if you continue to read, you'll find out that they started to declare the praises of God. They started to declare the works of the Lord. And because of the sound that filled the house, the sound apparently also filled the area surrounding the house. And people gathered together. Being that it was Pentecost, there were Jews from all over the world that had assembled in Jerusalem. And so they gathered together and they heard the sound and they started hearing these men and women that were filled with the Spirit of God declaring the wonderful works of God. Now the person who was speaking them, they didn't know what they were saying. Potentially. They might have known in their mind, maybe they knew in their heart, maybe they were just praising God, but they didn't realize it, or maybe it was mysterious to them what they were saying. But we know that there was a spiritual gift that was imparted to them of language at that moment. And as they spoke, they started to declare the wonderful works of God, and people that were surrounding that area, they said, well, wait a second, I'm from Greece and I don't speak Hebrew, but I'm hearing God being praised in Greek. And somebody from another area said, well, you know, I'm from way up north and we don't speak Hebrew either, but I'm hearing the praises of God in my language. And somebody from Africa down south, they said, well, wait a second, our dialect is way different. I mean, we don't speak any of your languages, but I'm hearing the wonderful works of God in my language. And it was at that time that Peter was able to stand up and they said, these guys are drunk. He said, they're not drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning, guys. He says, what you see is an outpouring of the Spirit of God. God is doing something on the earth. And the Apostle Paul comes later on and he starts to describe spiritual gifts and he says, desire them. Desire them. We've been taught in church that they're dead. At least I got taught that growing up. The last gift died with the last apostle. Well, listen, that's not true. Because in the book of Acts, it says this gift is for you and your children and to those who are far off. The promise is for us today, guys. And God wants to impart the spiritual gift. Don't you think God wants to give you the power to live a godly life? Don't you think God wants to give you the power to overcome? Don't you think God wants to give you the power to love people that are unlovable? Don't you think God wants to give you the power to be a witness? Why would God want to rob the church of the power of the Spirit of God? And so when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, spiritual gifts are imparted. And you should, like the Bible says, desire spiritual gifts. You should desire to prophesy. You should desire to speak in tongues in a language that you don't understand. You should desire to have a gift of healing that you can pray for somebody and they get healed. You should desire miracles and special faith and all the gifts that come with the Spirit of God. Because the Bible says desire them. They're going to be good for you and they're going to be good for other people that get around you. Apostle Paul goes on in 1 Corinthians 14:14 in the New Living Translation. He says, for if I pray in tongues, my spirit is praying, but I don't understand what I'm saying. See, remember Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. We don't know how we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes on our behalf with groans and utterances. See, he says, if I pray in the Spirit, I don't know what I'm saying, but I know that my spirit man is praying something. And he concludes and he says, what then? I'll pray with the Spirit, but I'll also pray with my understanding. Don't stop praying in English or Spanish or whatever your first language is that you like to pray. But he says, but also pray in the Spirit. Start to allow God to do a vocal miracle and touch your lips and touch your tongue and your vocal cords and the breath that's coming out of your mouth. Remember, the breath comes first and then the fire. God answers by fire. He turns it into a vocal miracle and creates language with things that we would think are babblings, things that we don't understand. But if the Apostle Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, said, I'm glad I speak in tongues more than you all, then guess what? I had a desire to speak in tongues. I had a desire every gift. Listen, if God has something for me, God had a gift, if God had a big package wrapped up with a bow on top of it and said, this is for you, do you want it? Far be it from me to say, nah, God, I'm okay. I don't need it, right? How horrible, right? And yet God has promises in his word. God has promises that come with his Spirit that we've said, no, Lord, that's a little weird. I don't want that. God says, it'll bless you. No, I'm okay. You've been trying to tell somebody about Jesus in your own power and you haven't been getting many results. It's cool. I'll keep going. You've been trying to understand the word and you just aren't getting anything out of it and you're kind of wondering if you should wander off from church. No, God, I'm good. I'll figure it out. I'm smart enough. But listen, if we can get over this, and we can reach out. It starts with the word saying, yes, God, I want it. I want to be filled. I want to be baptized with your Spirit and your power. Then God answers by fire. God's going to touch your life tonight. Now we're going to pray in a moment. I'm going to invite in a moment, not right now, but in a moment, I'm going to invite some of the pastors and leaders here at the church that we trust to come and to lay hands and pray for you. We see in the Bible that the apostles, that after Philip went and preached Christ, there was miracles happening, signs and wonders going on. People were being baptized in water. They were Christians. And yet the Bible says the Holy Spirit had not filled any one of them yet. So Peter, John, they go down and they lay hands to impart this gift. And they prayed for them and they received the Holy Spirit. So tonight we're going to do just like we see in the Bible. But listen, it's not because a pastor or a leader in the church did anything. Because John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus coming, he said, he is the one who will baptize you with fire and with the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus tonight is going to come because he's present in his church, right? Where two or more of you gathered, there I am in your midst. So Jesus is here tonight, and tonight Jesus is going to baptize you when we lay hands on you and when we say, be baptized and be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're not going to pray some flashy prayer tonight, guys. It's going to be super simple. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. That's it. Okay, that's about all you're going to get. In Jesus' name, be filled. Something like that, okay? But that's not what has the power. What has the power is your faith reaching out and receiving. And when that contact happens, Jesus is reaching out in agreement with us. And he's going to answer the word, the breath, the wind with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Now, some of you will experience something that feels like electricity flowing through your body. Some of you may feel heat pouring over your head Maybe it'll feel like hot oil. You know, the Bible often refers to the Holy Spirit as the oil. And so some of you are going to feel that. Some of you guys might feel sweating or your hands might shake, that sort of thing. That's not uncommon, okay? Now, I know that sounds weird to all of us, but sometimes God doesn't fit in our box, okay? Also, at the moment we pray for you and you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have the gifts imparted to you. And you have the ability to pray with other tongues. Isn't that crazy? You say, but I don't know the other language. No, you're not going to know it. But what did the Apostle Paul say? If you pray in the Spirit, you won't understand what you're saying. But your spirit man prays. Now, what's going to stop your spirit man from praying is your natural man, the carnal man, the flesh. You're not going to understand it, so you're going to sit there and be quiet. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to pray in tongues. No, you don't. But you're going to have to open your mouth. You're going to have to talk just like you have to choose to talk in English or Spanish or whatever other language you use. You're going to have to choose to allow your spirit man and give utterance to those syllables. Now, it might sound like foolishness. It might sound like baby talk. You might have just one word that's rolling around in your head. I would encourage you, just start there. And God, as you yield yourself to the Holy Spirit, will give you that language. Remember, it's a gift and it's a vocal miracle, but you are partnering together with the Spirit of God. So tonight, if you would like that gift, let's all stand. And I'm going to invite our pastors, our reverends, and I'm going to invite Dr. Kanga, would you come? Danny and Lupe, would you come? Dr. Kovanec, come on up. Reverend Mignon, will you come? Pastor Joel and Joanna, all right? Bob and Marilyn, you come on up. Come on, these are missionaries in our church. Come on up here. They're going to pray with you guys tonight, okay? Ron and Mary, you're on our prayer teams. Come on up here. Come on up, right in the center here, okay? Come on up here, or scoot over, either way. I just want to fill up the altar tonight, okay? Get right there. There you go. Okay. These are pastors and leaders in our church. Now remember, it's not anything about them. Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. And tonight, if you want this gift, remember, God's got it. It's waiting for you. If you want this gift, I want you to just come and line up right up front here. Just come on right now. Come on down. If you want this gift, just come on. Just anywhere, just line up in front. Come on up, come on up. We're not gonna lay hands yet. If you want it, just line up, okay? Okay, just come on up, come on up. Single file if you can, just line up. Okay, you don't have to stand in line in front of a person. Just get kind of in a single layer, and then we'll go a second layer because we're going to move through and pray for you guys, okay? So come on up here. Yeah. There we go. Okay, try and get in some orderly lines here, okay? There's order in the church. We're going to do everything decently and in order tonight, okay? There we go. Thank you, chaplain. Appreciate you. All right. Okay, there's more coming, all right? Yeah, you guys are welcome at this time. If you're in the family room, you have your children with you, you're welcome at this time. You can come down. If you want this gift, but you say, I don't know if I can go in because of my kids. Yeah, come on. Come on. We'll lay hands on the kids if they want it. Our children's camp, they just had kids that were filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. It's awesome. It's awesome. Okay. Anybody else, listen, don't be ashamed. If you've been sitting there and maybe you're a skeptic, and you're waiting to see what happens to them first, but you know you want it. Come on. Come on. Just come on down, okay? Anybody else? I just want to give you another opportunity to come on, all right? There's still people coming. Okay. Now we're going to pray a general prayer, and then afterwards the leaders here are just going to start putting that hand on your head and start praying for you individually, okay? Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit, and he is present right now, and you're about ready to get filled. So lift your hands in a posture of surrender as well as to receive, okay? Focus your heart on the Lord. Father, I just pray for these who have come with a desire to be filled with your Spirit, with your power, with your presence, oh God. I ask, Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, that you touch them, and that you fill them, baptize them with your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Okay, leaders, pastors, reverends, go ahead. Start laying hands on people. Start praying for them.
far down in my soul, I can't contain, I can't control. I want more of you, God, 'cause I want more of you, God. So set a fire down in my soul, I can't contain, I can't control. I want more of you, God, 'cause I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, I can't control. I want more of you, God, 'cause I want more of you, God. Spirit, break out, oh Lord, break our walls down.
Let's do this. Everybody up front. Everybody up front. Look up here. Look up here. I know some of you guys already are gotten your prayer language. Some of you guys are already flowing. All right. Some of you guys are experiencing the power and the presence of God in a huge way right now. This is awesome. Now, did anybody not get hands laid on them yet? Just lift up your hand right now. Anybody not get hands laid on them that wants it? Everybody got hands laid on them? Okay. How many of you did not speak with tongues yet? How many of you did not yet? Did not yet. Okay. Now listen, remember, he says, I will pray with my understanding, but I will pray with the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now don't feel bad if you didn't speak initially. You want to know why? Because this guy didn't either. All right? They laid hands on me, and I sat there and was like, and they asked me, is there any word that's rolling around in your head right now? And I had one word in my head, Urim. They said, speak it. I said, Urim. Nothing happened. I didn't feel anything. They said, say it again, Urim. Say it again, Urim. Say it again, Urim. Nothing's going on here, guys. And they said, okay, well, listen, wait on the Lord. And you continue to use that, continue to speak that. And as you do, God will give you more and more. Now, listen. I wish I'd have known then what I know now, which is that at the moment I had hands laid on me, I had it available to me. The problem was not this. The problem wasn't that I wasn't filled. Okay, you had hands laid on you. Jesus baptized you in the Holy Spirit. You are baptized in the Holy Ghost. Just like when you got saved, you said yes to Jesus. You woke up the next morning, you looked the same. You smelled the same, right? But something was different. Your heart was made new. Spiritually, you have been filled. You've been saturated with the Holy Spirit. You are filled with the Spirit, okay? You have the gifts of God given to you, okay? But it's a faith walk that you have to take some time, you have to open your mouth, and you have to connect with and use your physical body to produce language, just like I'm using it right now, right? I'm pushing air up through my lungs, and I'm using my vocal cords, I'm using my mouth and my tongue to form syllables and things like that, okay? Now, to give an example of this, now I'm going to do something that normally you won't see in church, okay? Because the Bible says everything must be done decently and in order. We're going to do this decently and in order. Because the Apostle Paul said that if tongues are to be spoken in a church service, that there needs to be an interpretation, okay? So I'm going to give you an example of what this looks like and what this sounds like, and we're all going to join in together and speak with our prayer language. But we're going to speak mysteries to God. There's not going to be an interpretation unless the Lord gives me one at this time, okay? But the reason why I'm giving this to you now is so that you can see that it's a choice. Just like I'm talking in English right now, and I could pray, Father, bless your people. God, I love you. I thank you, Jesus. I could pray all that, right, with my understanding, okay? Everybody that has their prayer language, you guys that were up here that you already spoke in tongues, let's pray in our prayer language right now. Ready? One, two, three, go. Sonda bashanda gesidi de bo, sonda basala bashanda basikele vegeto bo sobo. Stop. One, two, three, go. Erebo sonda basana keste. Stop. Right? See, it's a choice. We're not out of control. We are partnering with the Spirit of God and the grace of God, okay? And that's something that is a gift. You have to choose to do it. So I'm going to have Reverend Elijah sing this one more time, okay? If you got your prayer language, you can go have a seat, okay? If you still want your prayer language and you think, man, I got faith now. I believe I've got it. And I just want to linger a moment in the presence of God and try this thing out. I want to give you that opportunity. And some of the leaders, Lupe and Danny, some of you guys, they're going to stay around and work with you if you have questions or anything like that. But let's just worship the Lord during this time as we do. If you guys still want that, come on up, come on up, come on up. Okay, get closer. Everybody else is going, but you come on up. Just get closer. And let's just focus in on the presence of God. And you guys can just believe God and press in, okay? While God gives you this language, God gives you and imparts this gift to you, okay? Let's sing.
So set a fire down in my soul I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God, 'cause I want more of you, God. So set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, I can't control. I want more of you, God, 'cause I want more of you, God. So set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, I can't control. I want more of you, God, 'cause I want more of you, God. I want more, I want more, I want more of you, God. One more of you, set a fire down in our souls. Oh, let it burn for you, let it burn for you, oh God. Oh, Jesus, let your power come over us tonight. Let it burn inside our hearts, all for you, oh God. So for you, oh God. Oh Jesus, Jesus. Oh Jesus, Jesus. Spirit, break out. Tear one more of you, oh God. Oh.
Okay, for those of you that lingered and you stayed and now you got it, if you've got your prayer language, go ahead and take your seat once again. Okay? God is good. Come on, let's give the Lord a praise tonight. So good. So good. So good. I think there were one or two that maybe still were saying, man, I'm just still not there. That's okay. Listen, it was weeks later. I was in the car. I had just left my girl, right? I was dating my wife at the time, and we had just had a wonderful time together. And so I was driving home, and I was praying, and we had talked, and she'd asked me, did you get your prayer language yet? And I said, nah, it's all good. I'm fine. And she was like, you are not fine. You know, because she grew up in church where she just had experienced the presence of God and the power of God like this. And so she was like, you know, you're not okay. And I said, no, I'm okay. It's all good. So I said goodbye and I drove home. And I didn't know this, but she prayed for me afterwards. She said, Holy Spirit, you just hit him. So as I'm driving home, I'm driving through Ritchie Canyon over here, headed back to Reno Valley. And as I'm driving, I was just excited and happy, you know, and I was just praising God. Lord, I love you. I'm just so thankful for you, God. You're so good. And somewhere along the line, I crossed over from English into my prayer language. I didn't even know what happened. And so I got home and I called her and I said, hey, you'll never guess what happened. And she's like, I know. So I'm going to pray and believe God that you're going to get it on the way. And like I mentioned tonight, some of you guys just want a fresh presence of God. We're going to sing a song, and as we do, if you want to just come to the altar, get on your knees before the Lord. You just want a touch from God. Maybe you want a fresh filling, fresh power of God. Maybe tonight you've come with burdens and cares. Cast your cares here on the altar. Maybe tonight you're in need of healing or maybe a provision, something. You need a word of wisdom. You need God to speak to you. Tonight you can come to the altar and you can get what you need from God. So as we sing, just come. If you have the ability, get on your knees. And once you know that you've counted the presence of God, that you've touched God, or that God has touched you, then you can head back to your seat. Just come on to the altar right now. Let's sing.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your whole is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word, your very word. Oh, it's spoken, spoken to me. Oh, and I, I'm desperate for you. I want more of you, so much more. And I, I'm lost without you. Oh, I'm lost without you. I'm lost without you. I'm desperate for you. Oh, I'm desperate for you.
Jesus, we thank you for your presence here tonight. Thank you, God, that you have touched all these hearts, all these lives, laid down before you here at your altar tonight. God, we would ask that you would just solidify the things that have happened here tonight, decisions that were made, God, and gifts that were imparted, word of the Lord that was spoken, the wisdom that was distributed tonight, God. We thank you, Lord. God, we trust you. And we know, God, that he who began the good work will be faithful to complete it in each and every one of us, Lord, till the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can we just give the Lord a great big praise tonight? Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.